They also have proven that when you listen to something seven times over, you remember 98% of it. And so it'll be important for you to get a copy of this tape teaching at the end of this meeting, and you can pick it up over at the table there and listen to this seven times. If you do that, it goes into your subconscious mind, which the Bible calls your heart. That's where it is stored. So seven times makes you one with what you hear. When you take notes, you remember 68%. If you just listen to it and don't take notes, then the chances are you'll only remember 38 or 40%. So the choice is up to you. I want to speak on the subject, the philosophy of servant leadership, the kingdom philosophy of servant leadership. And I want to begin with a few statements that we've been talking about for the past 10 months. I have been speaking on the subject of the kingdom for the last 10 months, and will continue to do so for the next year or so, because there's so much to cover. But I want to speak this morning on zeroing in on the leadership philosophy of kingdom life. In other words, understanding the importance and the value of servanthood in the kingdom. It's kind of a paradox when you use the word king and servant, because in our mentality, those two words don't make much sense together. So as we take a look at that concept that seemed to be a contradiction, a king servant, it becomes clearer when you understand exactly what is meant by the concept of kingdom servant leadership. First point I want you to note in your notes is that God created man for rulership and not for religion. This is very important to remember, that God's motivation for creating man was not because God wanted a creature to worship him in a religious experience. As a matter of fact, religion was invented by sin. Now I pause for you to get the point. Religion is a product of the fall of man. If you read the Bible pre-fall, that means Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you will find no religion in those chapters. And yet, in those chapters, God says, this is very good. Which means, where there was no religion, God considers very good. Religion was created in Genesis chapter 4. When the first human activity of building an altar was invented, or created, or initiated by who? Cain and Abel. Which means that Adam and Eve, based on the historical biblical record, there's no record of them singing in the garden, praying in the garden, fasting in the garden. There was no prayer meetings and all the activities we do. As a matter of fact, in the Garden of Eden, there was no apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And yet God says, this is very good. So religion is not God's original plan for man. Religion is God's contingency plan to get us back in Genesis 1 and 2. In other words, Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is God's perfect will. Chapter 3 is God's will that went bad. And from chapter 3 of Genesis to Revelation 21 is God's program to get us back in chapter 1 and 2, which is a chapter without religion. Therefore, what was God after in Genesis chapter 1 and 2? That is what God wants to get. And it's very clear what God was after. It's found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, my favorite chapter and verse. And here's what it says in verse 26, if you turn there. It says, and God said, let us make a species called man. It's a plural word. Why? He said, let them have our image and our likeness. Image means moral and spiritual nature and character. Very complicated Hebrew concept. The word image means to have the moral and spiritual nature and characteristics of a thing. So when God said, let us make man in our own image, he had to use himself as the material, because the man had to have his nature and his moral and spiritual character. So God couldn't create humans out of dirt or gases or molecules from around him. He had to use the material that had his spiritual, moral, and character nature itself. So that's why God created man out of his own spirit. The next statement he says, and let us make this creature in our likeness. Likeness means, doesn't mean to look like God, it means to function like God. Write that word down. Likeness means function. So God said, let us make a creature, a species, that looks like us in nature and in characteristics, but also that functions like us. So if you want to know how you're supposed to function as a man, a human being, you've got to study God. And if you can analyze how God functions, then you'll know how you're supposed to function. Now let me say one thing about function. If a product doesn't function the way it was designed to function, then it is called malfunctioning. So when a human being doesn't function the way God functions, you are observing a malfunctioning human. Let me give you another example how that works. How does God function? Well, one way God functions that's very obvious is by faith. Write that down. God functions by faith. So what is faith? See, if you know what faith is, then you know how you're supposed to function. Because you're supposed to function the way God functions. Because if you don't function the way God functions, then you are malfunctioning. And when you malfunction, what happens? Then you self-destruct. When a car or a video machine or a toaster malfunction, it burns up. It disintegrates. It destroys itself. That's why when man became a disobedient creature, he began to malfunction. He begins to work against his own nature. What is faith? A whole lot of definitions of faith. How does God function? Well, faith, Paul says, is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things you can't see. In other words, faith is believing what you ain't see yet to the point where you believe it till you see it. Then faith, how does faith operate? Faith operates by two things, love and by speaking. That's why God is love. That's why his faith always works. Faith worketh by love. So right away, as a human being, you know that you cannot function if you have hatred. Any human that has bitterness, anger, hatred, malice, deceit, all the things that are opposite to love, that human malfunctions. That's why the Bible says bitterness dries up the bones. That term there is an old term for cancer. Why? The bone is the factory of blood. And when the bone dries up, that means you get blood problems. That means now you're getting into cancerous condition, which means that bitterness literally destroys a person physically. Why? They're malfunctioning. That's why the Bible says, walk in love. I like what Jesus said. Christ didn't leave love as an option to his followers. He says, this is my commandment. Why? It's for your own protection. And since you mightn't do it, I'll command you to do it. Matter of fact, love is so important for the functioning of the human spirit that God even tells you to love your enemies. Why? You function by it. You want to see a frustrated person who's getting sick and fat and disappointed and eating too much and all messed up? Let their love life fall apart. See, people get all twisted when their relationships are messed up. Why? Because they're not walking any longer in love. So now they begin to get sick. I mean, when somebody jilted you, you didn't want to go to work the next day. Now, jilted means you get a roach. Some of y'all don't know what jilt means. Tell your neighbor, I need love to function. Say it again. I need love to function. Now repeat after me. I need to love to function. So I forgive everybody right now. So my faith can work.
We function like God.
Faith also functions by what?
Speaking.
That's how God functions. Everything God did, He spoke it. And when you read Genesis chapter 1, the entire universe was created by God's words.
And God said, verse 3, and God said, verse 6, and God said, verse 9, and God said, verse 11, and God said, verse 14, and God said, verse 20, and God said, verse 24, and God said, verse 26. In other words, the whole first chapter, all those verses, God spoke and things happened.
Then God says, let us make a man just like us.
That means everything you are right now and have and don't have, you said.
That's why the Bible says to us very clearly, it says, listen, humans, if you're weak, don't say it.
Oh, you missed it.
He said, let the weak say, I'm strong. Tell your neighbor, I'm strong.
See, some of y'all came in here with a little bit of aches, a little tired.
Listen, don't ever say, I'm tired. Come on, say, I'm strong. Lift your hands and say, I'm strong. Say, I'm just like my father, and I am strong. Say it three times. I am strong. I am strong. I am strong. I am strong.
Now guess what? Faith is saying it until it manifests.
Which means the first time you say it, you mightn't feel it. And the Bible said, let the poor say. Let your hand up. Come on, quick, quick. You all need that one. Say it. I am rich. I am rich. I am rich. I am rich. Keep going until it comes. Say it loud. Some of y'all stop too soon. I am rich. All right, here then. I am rich. See, some of y'all ain't here. I am rich. You're saying it too soft. I am rich. Yeah, you're saying it loud. You're too soft.
I am rich.
Oh, God. No. All right. He said it the loudest. See? You shall have whatsoever you say. Why? You function just like God. The same way God created the world with words, you create your own world with words.
So God created you just like Him. But the next statement in verse 26 is critical.
It says,
and let them have dominion. The word dominion is the reason why God created you. He created you like Him for dominion. So God created you to dominate. The word dominate means to govern, to rule, to control, to manage, to lead, to have control over, and to master. It's an important word. You missed the whole list. You didn't write that fast. Let me try it again. The word dominion means to govern, to rule, to control, to manage, to lead, to have authority over, and to master something. I'm going to say it a third time because it's the key to servant leadership. Dominion is the key to servant leadership. I'm going to repeat what dominion means. It's going to make sense at the end of this teaching. And this week, you will be blessed by understanding this concept. The word dominion means to govern, to rule, to control, to manage, to lead, to have authority over, and to master something. In other words, God says, let them have rulership, mastery, governorship, authority, control over, and leadership over, and look at the list next to it, the fish of the sea, birds of the air, the cattle of the field, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the ground. Isn't that beautiful in that list? Can you list those things for me really quickly? Listen for me. Fish of the sea, list that fish, write it down, fish. Birds of the air, birds. Cattle of the field, that means all the animals of the field. Then he says, over all the earth, and that statement refers to everything that grows in the earth, plant life. Then the last statement says, and everything that creeps upon the ground. Now, why is that? That's an important thing. Because you see, the word creep means to crawl on all fours. Every animal crawls along the ground. Even the one they're trying to make your cousin. Now, this is important, you see, because evolutionists want us to believe that we are products of monkeys and apes. Now, maybe you are, but look at this handsome brother. You know I ain't come from no monkey. Monkeys are jealous when they see me. They all go, they bow down and worship me. I'm supposed to dominate creeps. Now, I was watching. Oh, you all got that, huh? I was watching National Geographic channel this week again. I love, that's my favorite channel. And on that, they had this documentary about apes and monkeys and chimpanzees. And once again, I saw what I always knew. And that is, every animal must walk on all fours, according to the scripture, if I'm going to dominate them. So when you look at the monkey, which they say is your close cousin, now yours, not mine. When you look at them, next time you see monkeys and gorillas, check them out. Now, a monkey may get up like this for a minute, but he can't walk like that. When it's time to walk, he has to touch the ground. Am I right? In other words, all four have to touch. Why? Because I got to dominate that brother. So if you want to know who and what you're supposed to dominate, let me give you the answers. Very simple. I want you to check your neighbor. Look at your neighbor real good. See if they have any feathers. Any feathers? Check. No. Okay. How about how about scales and fins? See, any fins? Ain't no fish. Okay. I'll check their shoes, see if any roots are growing out of them. Any roots? They're not plants. Fine. Okay. See if they walk around on all fours. No, they don't. They walk upright, don't they? Which means that that human is not on that list. Man was given dominion mandate, but not over one another. And this is important. What does dominion mean? Dominion means to govern, to rule, to control, to lead, and to manage, and to master. Now, when we think of the word leadership, we think of leading people, mastering people, dominating people, controlling people. Matter of fact, most people who say they are leaders, they are really controllers. They try to control people. And according to God, humans are off limits to control. So let's talk about what this means then. It means then that leadership has to do not with people, but with something else. And that's why we got to talk about servant leadership. What does God mean when he says man is to dominate these things? Well, dominion means to govern. So man was created to have dominion. And this third point is important. Whatever God calls for, he provides for. Now what that means is, whatever God created something to do, he designed it with. If God created birds to fly, then he designed the birds with flight on the inside. That's why birds do not attend flight school. It's built in. Fish were designed by God to swim. So fish never go to swimming classes. They don't go to swimming school. They swim in schools, but they don't go to swimming school. So why? Because swim is built into the fish. Seeds were designed by God to produce trees. You'll never see a tree going to a class on how to grow a tree from a seed. A seed naturally got the tree on the inside. All it needs is what? The environment. Matter of fact, the book that I wrote on glory, hope you get a copy of it, that book is really to help you understand the value of getting into the right atmosphere and environment. See, a bird cannot fly if you get it locked away in a cage in your house that's 2 feet by 2 feet. In other words, something like your job. Some of you were designed to do some great things, but you were trapped on a job. You're just like a bird that's restricted. Or a fish is not designed by God to be in your house in a little bowl that you could watch. A fish is designed to be in the ocean to enjoy the unlimited vastness of that sea. And here you are trapped in this bowl like some people trapped on their jobs. I want to say something, but I'm afraid to say it. But I'm going to say it even though I'm afraid to say it, even though I shouldn't. Maybe I should not say it. Perhaps I should say it, but I maybe, kind of, sort of, maybe, might say it. I'm going to take a chance and say it. And that is, some of you may have even trapped yourself in a marriage. That's why the Bible says, be sober before you get married. You're going to get married. Because see, a marriage, see, if you're not married, you're in the ocean. You can dream as big as you want, go as far as you want. But sometimes if you get married to the wrong person, they become a birdcage. I would recommend, before you get married, that you talk to the prospective lucky person and say to them, before we proceed any further, can I please advise you of how high I plan to fly? Just in case you got any ideas of building a cage around my life. I'm an eagle. Now, if you was a pigeon, go somewhere else. Come on, clap your hands, somebody. Hallelujah. If you are an eagle, don't marry a pigeon. A pigeon can't fly where eagles fly. Somebody getting happy over here. Whatever God calls for, He provides for. This is important. That means when God said, let us create a creature who will have dominion. That means leadership, rulership, power, control, mastery. We want a creature that can do all of those things. Then that is why God had to create you out of His own material, because you had to possess the spirit of dominion and power and authority and mastery and rulership and governorship. In other words, birds don't become flyers. They're born with it. They just wait for age. Fish don't become swimmers. They're born with swim. They just wait to grow up. Humans don't become rulers or leaders. They're born with it. They just wait for season. To everything there is a season. Every purpose there's a time. In other words, trapped in every one of you right now is a hidden leader. You have been trapped also by your environment, by your conditions, by people's opinions, by a culture, by all kinds of traditions. And they have trapped you. Matter of fact, most folks die never leaving the cage of their society. What a tragedy. That's why the Bible says, don't believe anybody's opinion of you. Nobody. Let me say it the way Paul said it. Paul says, let God be true. And every man a liar. In other words, whatever they say, you can't make it, they're lying. You'll never be somebody, they're lying. The only person you should believe is the manufacturer. Come on, praise His name, somebody. You can do what the manufacturer says you can do, and anything less is a lie. That's why the devil is the father of lies, because he's afraid to tell you the truth about yourself. Tell your neighbor, if God said it, whether I believe it or not, that settles it. That means you have been built with leadership. This also means that God created man to dominate everything except the image of God. Don't ever forget that. God created man to dominate everything in the earth except the image of God. Let me make a comment here. I want you to read for me, please. Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back there. Read verse 27. Women, read it twice. I want to help you here for a minute. Over the past 6 or 7 weeks on our national television news all over the world, we've been introduced, some of us for the first time, to a nation called Afghanistan. It is being led by a group of religious zealots who call themselves the Taliban. Taliban means actually students. That's what it means. It means students. These are men who were students from a school of Islam. They have an extreme belief. One of their beliefs are very clear, and that is that women are not equal to men in value and in authority and substance. Now, you better listen carefully. So what you are seeing on national television all over the world is a human being being dominated by another human. Let's read what God says about these humans. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man, I'm quoting, in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue the earth. Read the next statement. And have dominion. He said it to who? Both of them, which means both male and female were given the same assignment of dominion over fish and birds and cattle and trees and creeps. Which means both male and female were equally assigned by God to be rulers, governors, leaders, managers, and masters of the earth. Praise God. Ladies, you all let me down. You're supposed to shout just now. But we see women being treated less than animals. God says in his Bible that a woman's here is a glory. The Taliban says, cover it up. God says a woman is to be treated as the delicate vessel, protected and covered and guarded and carefully cared for. They say she must be behind them like a dog and cannot study, cannot get education, cannot develop themselves, cannot expand their brain, cannot develop their intellect. They cannot get any kind of progress. I mean, that is opposite to what the Bible teaches. Why is this important? See, because leadership is not dominating people. Let them have dominion. My wife is a man. The word man is the name God gave to a species. Let me just read something for you, just to seal this thing. Turn to chapter 5. Chapter 5 of Genesis. Interesting chapter. I like this chapter. Verse 1. This is the account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Verse 2. He created them, male and female, and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. I rest my case. Man is the name of the species. So inside of my wife is a man, a spirit that is the same image as mine, same value, same ability. But what God did was he wanted to release man to fill the whole earth. So he put all of man in one body called Adam. The word Adam is not a name. Write it down, Adam. Adam means dark earth. It's not a name, it's a description. The man is the spirit being, but the body that God put him in, he called it dark earth, Adam. As a matter of fact, throughout the Bible, both women and men are called Adam, because they are both dark earth. Dark earth is quite logical, because the location of the Garden of Eden, as you may have known, scientifically proven so far, is in northern Africa. And the earth there looks something like mine, so, like me. Now, and that makes sense scientifically too, because if you put all the colors in the world in one bucket and you stir it, you'll end up with black. So God had to start with black with everybody in it. Is that simple, Claire? No racism, just scientific, spiritual fact. From one man, Acts chapter 17, verse 24, write it down. From one man, God made all the nations of men. The word nation, that means ethnos. All the ethnic groups came from one man. God hid everybody in one body. Can I hear an amen? So we got one body with everybody, but now God wants everybody to come out of the one body. Only problem is the one body can't produce more bodies, so God goes inside the one body, pulls out another body, and made that body a female. Why? Because now the male and the female can get together, produce more bodies, so that more man can come out. That's why God didn't create Steve for Adam, because the purpose for creating the two genders is to produce more dirt houses so that more man could manifest on earth. And two men cannot produce more dirt houses. This is not a mystery. Now, they're trying real hard to do this. Men are trying. They're trying. Sex change by a surgeon cannot perform this miracle. Breaking your wrist and walking with a ponytail and earrings don't make this thing happen, brother. If you ain't got no womb, you ain't qualified. It's that simple. I don't understand the arguments people go through. The purpose for the two genders is to produce more dirt houses so that the man that was trapped in Adam could come out and fill the earth. Two females cannot produce dirt houses. Let me throw that in case you think I forgot you. So lesbianism is not the plan of God. If thou art involved, stop it now, thou sinner and abominable one. Say with me, purpose over pleasure. Write that down. Remember that. God's more concerned about purpose than your personal pleasure. So God created them, male and female. And he blessed them. And he told both of them to have what? Dominion. This is God's purpose and plan. So built into every woman is a powerful leader. And built into every man is a powerful leader. In other words, every male and female are both leaders with the same ability. So you can't treat a woman less than a man in value. I am so frustrated when I see those photographs on television. Women walking around like ghosts in Islam. And what I can't understand, keep the TV on, is that when you read the Quran, which I have, matter of fact, I'd encourage all of you Christians to buy a Quran. Read it. The thing is the Old Testament. So I'm still trying to figure out how they could have Genesis in the Quran and miss that. I'm mystified. I mean, they love women so much, they have more than one of them. Keep the TV on. How come you like something so much you hate? And it's so good you want a few around. Now, there's a high possibility that this signal is going into Afghanistan. So I speak to my mullah friends who believe in the Sunnah law. That if you study the word of God, yes, the portion of the Quran that belongs to the Bible, it does say that he made them both male and female. He blessed both of them and told them to have dominion together over the earth. I don't understand the problem. So man was created by God to dominate everything except the image of God. If a woman can be dominated by a man, then that means she is not the image of God. That's logical. It makes sense. That means a woman got feathers. She got scales and fins. She creeps along the ground. And she is a beast. I don't know if any woman feel that way today. Someone say never. No, thou art the image of Christ. Thou art the image of God, manifested in a beautiful female body. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says in the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, there is neither male nor female. Now, some of our own Christian leaders ain't get that one yet. What a tragedy. Because we don't understand leadership. This next point I want to make clear. Man fell from dominion, not from heaven. You cannot go to a place you didn't fall from. The Bible does not begin man in heaven. It begins man on earth. Adam fell from dominion, his responsibility over the earth. He lost that. As a matter of fact, he subjugated the kingdom he was supposed to rule to someone else. And we know who that is. It's an unemployed cherub. Lucifer, who lost his position because he himself didn't understand true leadership. True leadership is not usurping authority over your authority. True leadership is finding your role and playing it under the authority you've been placed under. Serving your gift to that authority. And Lucifer made a big mistake. He decided to be the boss. He got kicked out. And then he came to earth and tempted you with the same thing. Would you like to be like God, he says? Now, the only difference between Lucifer and you is that you were already like who he was saying you should be like. See, he was desiring something he could never be. He was tempting you with something you already were.
That's it. That's it. Yes.
And it worked. Write this down. The ultimate sin is self-doubt. The ultimate sin is self-doubt. What kind of statement is that? Well, if you study the temptation, Genesis chapter 3, that was the ultimate sin. They doubted who they already were. I mean, God said in chapter 1, they were like him in his image, in his likeness, in his nature, in his character already. Here comes Satan saying, you ain't really like who he says you are. So they doubted who God says they were, in order to attempt to become who they already were. Scientists and psychologists have concluded that the number one problem of humanity is not money, poverty, sickness, or anything. The number one problem of humanity is identity crisis. We don't know who we are, so we're trying to be everybody else. We keep doubting our own ability, our own value, our own nature, so we keep putting on other people, trying to be. Matter of fact, some of us are so low, we become like animals. Trying to be like animals. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give us back our self-image. Now, he couldn't give us back our self-image unless he could show us what it looks like. So the Bible says God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we were able to behold. Behold means to look, to see his glory. What is glory? Nature. So we could see ourselves. That's why we love Jesus so much. You know, the people who followed Jesus in the New Testament 2,000 years ago, I mean, these were all kinds of people. Rich, poor, you know, pagans, I mean, everybody, religious people, everyone followed him. Why? They liked what they saw. Why? Because they saw themselves. They saw what it looks like to walk on water and dominate the earth, or to speak to trees and they die, or to speak to fish and they fill a net, or to literally stop a storm. I mean, they saw the human spirit controlling the earth, and they said, I like that. So they followed him everywhere he went, to the point where they almost starved to death. And he took three loaves and two fishes and he multiplied. He then even saw, my God, he controls atoms. He could split an atom in a roll and make it multiply. I like this man. No, you like yourself. You'll get it after I'm gone. You like what you saw that looks so natural. Why? Because it is. That's why when you cast out a demon, you take an authority over these spirits that ain't supposed to be here. God's not impressed when you cast out a demon. God's not impressed when we take authority over the germ of tuberculosis or take authority over the AIDS virus. God's not a surprise and shock when you bind and loose and cast out disease and infirmity. Matter of fact, one day he told the disciples, go out and do it. They went out, they did it. Then they cast out demons, raised the dead, healed the sick. When they came back, they said, give me five, Jesus, man. Come on, give me five. Give me five. They said, look what we did. Yes, sir. And Christ says, do not rejoice because these things happen. What's the big deal? This is normal for you. He said, what to rejoice is that you reconnected to heaven now, your name back in the book. That's the real thing you should rejoice over. You back in touch with your manufacturer. He spoke to a tree and they became shocked. He said, why do you worry about speaking to a tree? You could speak to mountains. In other words, what are you guys? Man, you've fallen so low that being natural is exceptional. I'm going to try one more time. He said, you have fallen so low from who you really used to be that being natural is exceptional. Speaking to a tree shocks you. And you got the power to speak to a mountain. Lift your right hand. I want you to see the mountain of all your bills in front of you right now. Come on, don't be shy. Pile all them on top of them. All them bills. Yeah, I'm talking about your entire... Now listen, I'm not talking about your mortgage payment. I'm talking about the whole mortgage. Can you think that big? I want you to think of all the phone bills you will owe for the rest of your life right now. See them piled up? The ones you haven't even called yet. Think about all the current life lectures you're going to use right now. Come on. Put a big mountain of everything that you will ever accumulate in your life. Look at it. Now, Jesus, either he's lying or he's telling the truth. He said, you can speak to that mountain and tell it to move and go into the sea. Now, that takes a God kind of faith. Go ahead and speak to it right now. Say, go! In the name of Jesus, by the authority of my image. Go! Come on, look, talk to it. Talk to it. Go in the sea. Go away in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Mountain's moving. I said, the mountain's moving. Now the challenge comes. You got to say that every morning. You got to say it until the mountain is history. You got the power to do that. Whatever he calls you for, you can do. This last point, trapped in every human spirit is a hidden leader. And every man is searching for that dominion again. It's a very important statement at the end here. Every human fell from dominion, and that's what they're searching for. You always look for what you lost, isn't that right? Come on, talk to me. You only look for what you lost. Let me tell you all something. This is going to blow your mind. Humans are not looking for heaven. You know, you don't really want to go to heaven. I know what you want. Now, the extremist Muslim, Islamic people who perpetrated some of the terroristic acts, now, all of them didn't, but some of them have been involved in this, and those who have that kind of religious twisted mentality, do you know why they say some of them kill themselves? Two things. One, they can go to heaven, and two, they can have 10 virgins. Now, Brother Barry here, he's from Israel, he'll tell you some of these beliefs. Now, this is interesting, eh? What I can't figure out is this. I still can't figure out the woman thing, all right? Here you are, you're treating like dirt here, but you can't wait to get 10 in heaven? Man, y'all clap, man. That's heavy, man. That's deep. I don't understand that. They dirt on earth, and you can't wait to get to them in heaven? Anyhow, that confuses me. But, let me tell you something. They blow themselves up because of the promise of heaven and 10 virgins thrown in. Now, why does heaven attract them so much? The same reason why it attracts you. You and the Muslim and the Buddhist and the Hindu are all motivated by the same thing, heaven. And that is not the motivation. Follow me. The number one problem with earth right now is heaven. The World Trade Towers were destroyed because of heaven. Heaven kills people. See, because you told me that if I was to kill myself and blow up 20 people with me, I'm going to go to heaven. I want heaven. So I'm going to kill 20 people. You told me that if I take an airplane and guide it into a building with 38 people on it and destroy 4,000 in the process, I will go to heaven. That means heaven motivates my activity. Heaven kills. Why do Christians do what they do? Why you stop drinking? You won't go to heaven, man. It ain't liquor. You want liquor bad, but you won't go to heaven. Y'all talk to me. Y'all motivated by the same thing. I used to be motivated by heaven. Heaven ain't my motivation no more. Heaven is dangerous. That's why the people would crawl on their knees up the rocks in Mexico and light candles and kiss the statue's feet and stay there and hang on and almost starve to death, because there's a promise that if you are faithful to a certain saint, then you will go to heaven. There are people in India who would walk, oh my God, walk to the river, bathe in mud, get up on that river and take their last meal and take it to a cow and kiss the cow and let the cow eat their food, because they want to go to heaven. Heaven is dangerous. Heaven is causing the problems on earth. So, why is heaven a problem? I'll tell you before you go. Because heaven promises us what we are looking for. Follow me. What are we looking for? Dominion over our environment. See, the reason why you hate earth is because the bank owns your car, the bank owns your house, the bank owns your kids' tuition, the bank owns the clothes on your back, the bank owns your shoe, and they own your future. You are a prisoner on earth. They control what you do, where you eat, where you live, the whole thing. You are not dominating, you are dominated. You hate this place. The bills control your life. The boss controls your life. The company can fire you and hire you, and you are unstable, insecure. I mean, you hate earth. Earth is terrible. And then on top of that, here comes sickness you can't get rid of. And the doctors can't fix it. And the medicine can't cure it. And here you are on a planet where nothing is under your control. And you were built to control. So there's a promise of a place which says, when you go up there, there's no sickness, no bills, no problems, no oppression, no fear. And then, woohoo! Okay, and I can't wait to get there. Why? You're looking for a place where you feel you are in dominion. That's why you love heaven. Heaven promises you dominion. The only problem with heaven is that the Bible never promises you dominion in heaven.
Do you remember the way you felt the last time you paid off a bill? Come on, tell me how you felt. Ooh, wow. Man, when you made that last payment, you went skipping out of that bank. Hallelujah. You got in your car, you turned the window down for the first time, and you said, hello, everybody. You walked around with a pep in your step and a glide in your stride. He said, what happened to you? Girl, I'm free from that one. Yes, sir. What? You felt a taste of dominion. Let them have dominion. And that's what every man is searching for. That's why you want to die and go to heaven. And ain't none up there for you. God gave you dominion over the earth. And that's what we lost. You are supposed to be a ruler over earth. Write that down, please. Ruler over earth. Write it down. Ruler over earth. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 115 again. I got 5 minutes. I'm going to give you enough in 5 minutes to last you for 5 years. You got it? Psalm 115. I want you to read verse 14. Psalm 115, verse 14. What does it say? Well, here's what it says. Psalm 115, verse 14. May the Lord God increase both you and your children. Man, I like that. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of two places, heaven and earth. No problem. Next statement. The highest heavens do not belong to you. Oh, sorry. The highest heaven belongs to the Lord. And the earth he gave to man. You don't got any problems with these statements? Are you daft? Can you read English? Is it clear? God says, look, I did not give you heaven. God can't return to you what he never gave you. You cannot redeem what you never had. You cannot repossess what you never possessed. You know, I do believe it's true when you say this, though. I am going to heaven. Now, I must confess, that's true. You are going to heaven. It's like going to the moon. See, you've never been to the moon, so you are going to the moon. See, so going to heaven is correct. You are going, because you ain't never been. That ain't your place. You're going there. But you will return to earth. Come on, clap your hands. That's the truth. All of us who die in Christ Jesus, we shall go to heaven. It's like going to a foreign country. That ain't your place. Come on, hear me say, that ain't your place. That ain't your place. That ain't where you're supposed to be forever. You go in there. That's why God has a program for your body. The resurrection is God's guarantee that you ain't going to stay in heaven. I'm going to say it one more time. The resurrection of your body is God's guarantee you will not stay in heaven. Absent from the body? Yes. Present with the Lord? Good. But I'm going to get your body back, God, because you ain't staying up here. You were born and created to dominate the earth. If I got to make a new heaven and a new earth coming out of heaven, I'm going to make a new one if I have to. Highest heavens belong to the Lord. Do you know, that could mean logically that being in heaven is illegal. Trespassing. Some of y'all want to trespass for 1 million years. That's why God ain't going to say, no 1 million years. Tourists. Heavenly tourists. What do you think John was? A heavenly tourist. Look at that gate. Ooh, that's nice. Angel says, okay, time to leave now. You know, you don't belong up here.
Go and tell them how it looks. Tell them what you saw. Revelation 21 ends on earth. Read it for yourself. Because you are a leader over earth. So heaven is attractive because it promises us what we're looking for on earth. And that is dominion. And that's why I close with this understanding. These words, Jesus. The kingdom is man's pursuit. Because the kingdom promises you dominion again. King means ruler. Dom means dominion. And so what you are really looking for is what you lost. Every human being is looking for the same thing. The Buddhists are looking for the kingdom of God. The Muslims are looking for the kingdom of God. The Hindus are looking for the kingdom of God. The Scientologists are looking for the kingdom of God. The animists are looking for the kingdom of God. The atheist is looking for the kingdom of God. The Rastafarianists are looking for the kingdom of God. Everyone's looking for the kingdom of God. Let me prove it. See, now they don't know what it is, but they know they're looking for it. What are they looking for? Dominion over their circumstances. Matthew 11, Jesus said these words. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men or violent men seek to lay hold of it. That statement is an interesting statement. God says the kingdom of God was prophesied by the apostles, by the prophets and by the lawgivers. And then John the Baptist introduced it and he himself bought it, Jesus the Christ. He says up to John, they talked about it, up to John. In other words, John was the last person to tell you the kingdom is coming back to earth. The ability for you to rule again is coming back. That's what he was saying. When you read the Old Testament, there are glimpses of kingdom life. And these are the people we call heroes. A biblical hero is a woman or a man who kind of fell into kingdom life for a few minutes and they fell back out. That's what a hero is. Moses is a hero. What did he do? Moses tapped in to kingdom life. He spoke to a rock, water comes out. Spoke to the sky, and food comes down. The guy take a piece of wood, stretch it across water, and it opened. He was experiencing what? Dominion over the planet. And they say, wow. God said, wow, that's normal. Little Joshua, young guy, man. Joshua's fighting, man. And Joshua said, look, man, we got to win this battle. The Lord said, we're going to win. And it's getting late. And Joshua had an idea you'd never had. This young man switched hands with his sword and put his hand up and said, stop! And the sun said, thank you very much. Actually, the earth went, urch! This man tasted kingdom power. Elijah was called to fetch an axe that fell into the river. Everybody using wooden thing and diving. And Elijah said, you don't got to go in the water to get axe. He said, bring that piece of twig here, break the twig, put it in the water. He said, axe, come here. And the axe found the twig, float to the top. Steel axe, you know. Molecules respect authority of the image of God. We call him what? A hero. And there are so many stories. David looked at Goliath and says, you too big to miss. He tasted kingdom power. Kingdom power. See, friends, Jesus said everyone's looking for it. And they are what? Forcefully looking for it. Let me close on this. Right now, the world is filled with what? Anxiety, fear, and uncertainty, and terror. Do you know that every problem in the world motivated by that violence right there? That force? Men are trying to find the kingdom, and the Bible said they are getting violent about it. In other words, religion is the manifestation of the violence. So the Hindu is killing the Christian in Pakistan.
And the Muslim is killing the Christian in Sudan. And the Christian is fighting the Muslim and fighting each other in northern Nigeria. And everybody's forceful. Everybody said, we got it right. No, we right. No, I right. No, you right. No, I wrong. You know, see, they're all trying to find the same thing. They're trying to find dominion over the circumstances. So Christ says, up to John. They've been trying to find it. But he opens his ministry like this. Matthew 4:17. And from that time, Jesus began to preach. Repent! For the kingdom of heaven has returned. The ability to dominate the earth is here again. Let's give him a praise offering. He's a great king. Hallelujah. He's a great king. He's a great king, I said. I say he's a great king. Everyone's looking for the kingdom. Everybody say it. Say it again. That's why we go to the disco. That's why we love, look at me everybody, look at me. We love Disney World. Disney World is manifestation of our desire for the kingdom. I love Disney World. You know, it's incredible. I see people when I go to Disney World. I see people from Disney World from all over the world, including Muslims, dressing their garb. I see Hindus with a little spot on their head. Everybody catching ride on Disney World ride. Everybody there. Why? Because everybody looking for a place where there ain't no bills, no pressure, no problems. For 3 days, they are in fantasy land. Dominion. That's why they call it. Write one last word down, please. That's why they call it amusement park. Everybody say muse. Muse means to think. Muse means to think. That's why music is so dangerous, because music controls your thinking. The word music comes from the word muse, to control thought. The word music means actually to make think. That's why you got to be careful about the music you listen to. You musicians here, you're treading on dangerous ground. Be careful what you put in your music. But the word amuse, amuse means to stop thinking. So, Disney World, Busch Gardens, and the Kingdom of Disney are called amusement parks. In other words, a no-thinking park. A park where you go and you think about nothing for 3 days. You just act like a child and you play with little animals and little rides and you just go crazy. You don't think about mortgage payment, light bills, water bills, sickness or nothing. You just have a good time. You lose pressure when you go.